That thing is kicking in, isn't it? All right. Thanks for being here today. A little bit of a shower coming through today. Isn't that great? We just need a lot more of that, and particularly out west. So let's just continue to keep those people in prayer. If you've seen on the news and heard from friends and things like that, the drought is really kind of getting a little bit rough out there right now. Here's a question. How many is glad that you live in a free country? I am too. I mean, we really, in freedom-loving countries, democracies, we put a very, very high premium on freedom. And it's one of the highest virtues, something that a lot of people have died for to maintain. So it's a high thing. Now, let's apply that same concept of freedom, not to our national identity, but our spiritual identity. How many of us are enjoying our spiritual freedom as much as we are enjoying our national freedom? There was very few hands went up right there. Now, so, and that tells me that where I'm going today is probably spot on, because when we start talking about spiritual freedom, we have all these different ideas that jump up in our mind about what about this, and what about this, and what about this, and what about this, and what about that person, and what about that person, that church says this, and all this kind of thing, to where it appears, if you have a glimpse of Christianity or Christendom, there's no freedom in it at all. But what did God anticipate? What did Jesus purchase for us through grace? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. When we leave here today, pack up our chairs and go home, I would like for every one of us to be confident that if you're a Christian, you are spiritually free. Freedom. So that's what we're going to talk about. So let's pray first. Father, thank you, Lord, for the things that you have provided for us. So often, Lord, we have a concept in our mind, but we don't take that concept and actually apply it to our lives. And Father, help us to understand that we can apply the concept of freedom, spiritual freedom, which you purchased with your blood for us. Help us to take that, internalize that, live by that. Let it permeate us that we are free. And when the Son makes us free, we're free indeed. So help us to live that way. It might even just revolutionize our lives. And we thank you. Now guide us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. I'm going to read it first from the King James Version. This is something you've probably heard many, many times, and it talks about freedom. The Apostle Paul is speaking. First of all, he was talking to one of the churches that he started, and they all had the concept of freedom, and then there were some people came in and started trying to bring them back under the bondage of the way they used to do things. You know the type. You've seen it, heard it, perhaps you've done it yourself. But this is what the Apostle Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." In other words, get it, grasp it, stand on it, don't move. Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, most of us can figure out what that means from that version, but I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation, and there's going to be no doubt what he's saying. Same verse, "So Christ has truly set us free." No ambiguity at all. Now, make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law. So their big argument at that time, the religious argument among the churches, is the fact that you know, some people says you've got to do this part of the law, or you've got to do this part of the law. You've got to do this to be a Christian. And Paul says, no, you're free. And I was thinking about pulling an old Southern gospel song up, but it would set me crying our eyes out listening to that song. But the thing about it is, we are set free, and we need to get our heads around it and live that way. Now, let me just ask you, since Jesus purchased for us spiritual freedom, what does that mean to you? All right, class, this is your time. What does it mean to you? Okay. No condemnation.
Not bound by the law.
I'm sorry? Yeah. It's not works-based. If it's not works-based, how is it based? Faith. Grace. Free fruit. All right, and you guys have covered a lot of the points that we're going to be talking about. So, if we're free people, what are we free from? Well, we're going to look at these points. First, we're free from having to live by the law of Moses. Aren't you glad? There's a few churches today that's trying to bring you back under the law of Moses. You know who they are. We won't mention any names, but don't. Number two, we're free from the condemnation of our sin. All of our sin. Say that with me. All of our sin. Why don't we live that way? You get my drift? I mean, we're set free, but we don't live free. Thirdly, we're free from the power of sin. Now, that's an eye catcher there when we get there. Next, we're free from legalism and the opinion of others. How many of us subject ourselves to the opinion of other people? So much so that it controls us and even puts us under bondage. No, you're free. Lastly, we're free from the burden of we're free from the burden of having to state our opinion and our tendency to judge other people. Did you know that God set you free from being judgmental? You may have trouble with judgmentalism. Not that you're getting judged, but you like to judge anybody. Don't raise your hand, please. God set you free from that? Then why don't we live that way? And there was another one I didn't have time to develop because I've already got too many notes and I'm going to go on for 2.5 hours today anyways, but no, I'm kidding. And something fits real well with what Matt was talking about. God made us free to be who He created us to be. There's all different kinds of personalities. There are all different kinds of ideas. But you know what? As long as we're lining up with the biblical concept of Christianity, we're free to be whatever we want to be. You want to go barefooted? That's fine. You want to be kind of an out there Christian? As long as you're in line with biblical truth, that's fine. If you want to be kind of like me, boring as mud, sometimes I get introspective in me thinking like this all the time. Julie says, it gets so boring. It's okay to be that way. We should do a series on personalities and pick out the characteristic of personalities. We all have personalities, and sometimes our personality kind of rubs the other person the wrong way. But it's okay to be who God created us to be. We're free. Or should be free to be that way. Amen? And we're not done yet. Okay. So let's get into these. And the grace that Jesus gave us has brought us all of these things. So let's start breaking them down. First, let's read our verse in Galatians 1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. So two things it says. First, Christ has truly made us free. Second, make sure you stay free. We need to protect that freedom. All right? Now here's a question. Why are we free? You see, before we were saved, we just did what lost people did naturally. We can sin against God and not think a thing about it. That's just what lost people do. Sometimes we're surprised at what people in the world do. Don't be surprised. They just do what non-Christians do. Some Christians do it too. But when we got saved, we're free now to live to honor God. You see, this is what happened. You remember when we got saved? And if you've been around here, you get saved. Well, there's something you go through, and it pictures what happened to us. Let me read it to you. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, when we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So the picture of baptism, remember the old person that we were, where we were just doing whatever? When we got baptized, that picture, we're dead to that person now. And then when we raise to walk in newness of life, we come out of that water, that's a picture that we're brand new. Brand new people that are free to honor and worship God. We're free to honor, worship, and God. Worship God. We have a new life. Once what we were, we are no longer. Where we were once headed, we are no longer headed there. We are new lives, new freedom, purchased with the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, first, we're free from having to live under the law. Now, I'm not going to do it today, but if you really want to understand the concept of being free from living under the law, read the entire book of Galatians. Might take you 30, 45 minutes. Or read Galatians 5 specifically, and you'll get what the Apostle Paul is saying, and we're going to be doing some quotes from Galatians 5 today. We're free from the law of Moses, and it's just a hands down. Everybody knows that, right? Don't need any explanation? Okay? Everybody with me? All right. Secondly, we're free from the penalty or the curse of our own sin. Let me say it again. We are free from the penalty or the curse of our own sin. Now, how many's ever sinned? How many sins does it take to separate you from God? But something happened to us when we trusted Jesus, and this is it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification, this is what happened to you when you got saved, when you chose to accept the sacrifice of Jesus for your life. By faith, you were justified or proclaimed by God Himself that you're no longer accountable for your sin. That's a heavy. And God looks at us just as if we had never sinned. Anybody find that hard to understand? Anybody want to give me a different view? The point is, we don't understand it, but because of grace, the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary paid for sin once for all. It's paid for. On your account, paid in full. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now here's the point. Why don't we live that way? Why don't we live like redeemed and justified and set free people? Folks, if we can get our heads around the fact that we no longer live under the penalty of our sin, and heaven is a surety for us, it should put a little bit of a spring in our step. But we don't live that way. You see a lot of Christians and hear a lot of Christians. You ever seen them? You're free from that, folks. Get over it. All you're doing is focusing on the world. We're supposed to focus on God. We're supposed to focus on Jesus. We have an apostolic command, what we're supposed to think about it, and none of it's negative. All of it's positive. Why don't we do that? Amen, Brother Tony. Yeah, it got quiet in there for just a second. I just want to... Now listen, the justification and pardon from my sin, if there was no other freedoms, that's enough for me right there. That's enough. Means that heaven is my home. Before long, we're going to get on a series on heaven, and hold on to your hats because we're going to take a journey. Okay? Just giving you a little bit of a snapshot. But there's more than freedom. And this one will kind of stretch your thinking a little bit too. Secondly, we're free from the power of sin. We've talked about this a few months back. Simply stated, you and I no longer have to sin. Anybody disagree with that? We don't have to sin. We don't have to. And let me just read to you what that's all about. Oh, let me just say this. Satan no longer, get this, Satan no longer has the power to make you do anything. Nothing. He can't make you do anything. Amen? Now, his roar is like a roaring lion, you know, seeking who it can devour. But has a roar ever hurt anybody? Come on now. Has a roar ever hurt anybody? Might scare you into submission, but a roar's never hurt anybody. And boy, he roars a lot. Tell him to get back in his cage. Satan can't make you do anything, and this is why. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read it all to you, so just hang with me. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? He says, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Now here's where it gets really good. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified, that's your old sin nature, were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. What does that mean? You don't have to sin. He goes on, we are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. We should be getting Babdecostal here, okay? Folks, to know that Satan can't make us do anything. He can't make you do anything that you don't allow him to guide you into. That's freedom that Jesus bought for you on the cross. We should get excited about that. So here's the thing. We do not have to sin. So why do we? Anybody want to answer that one? Yeah, plain and simple, we make the choice. Or we just might even say, well, the temptation was just more than I can handle. I was looking at something to eat the other day, and I think it was a ginger beer in the refrigerator. I'm trying to get off the sugar, but I yielded. And I told Julie, I can resist anything but temptation. But hang on a minute, there's a verse in the Bible that stands out. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You know it. No temptation has overtaken you except is common to man. So don't think you're unique. But God is faithful, who will not, listen to this promise, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But here's a promise again. With the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Point blank, what he's saying is, if you're tempted, God will give you the strength to beat the temptation. Anybody agree? Why don't we do it? What is it you said a minute ago? We choose. Mm-hmm. He's been dealing with humans for a very long time, so it's very tricky. But you see, we also have this secret warrior, you know, that's with us called the Holy Spirit. That as we start to be tricked into something, the Holy Spirit's going, ah, 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 kind of like I do with Milo when he's going after something he's not supposed to. He goes, I'm going, ah, ah, ah. He ignores me. But folks, we don't have to sin. Say it with me. We don't have to sin. Why? It's because when we got saved, we have been redeemed away from the power of sin. So, everybody clear on those two? Don't have to live by the law of Moses. We're free from the curse of our sin. We're free from the power of our sin. And here's another one. We're free from having to respond to legalism. There are people around you who appear to be well-meaning Christian people who are set out to destroy it. They want to remind you of your past, though you have been forgiven of it. They want to bring up all the bad things about you, though God has made you brand new. They want to suppress you from being different because you're different from who they are. A lot of people are not comfortable with people different than they are. But you know what? God has freed us from that legalism. We need to live to honor God. Amen? We don't need to be living to be a man pleaser. We need to be living to be a God pleaser. Everybody agree with me? People will remind you of your past. They will restrain you from enjoying the freedom that God gives you through Jesus. They will steal your joy. And that's exactly what was happening to the Christians in Galatia. Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Let me read it to you. This is what the Apostle Paul said about those people who were trying to suppress the Christians. First, he says, you were running well, which means you're not doing so well right now. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who's gotten your ear and told you that you're not free? Verse 8, this persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, you let a bit of little bit of legalism comes in, it's going to cause some problem. You got to keep it out. He goes on, I have confidence in you and the Lord that you'll adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you shall bear his own judgment, whoever he is. In other words, the legalist will bear their own judgment. And they're still around today. Let me tell you a story. Chuck Swindoll told. Young missionary couple, God called them to go to a third world country. They sold up everything and they went over there. Stayed a couple of years, got discouraged, came home. Somebody said, well, what happened? Well, what it was when they got on the field, you know, they sold all of their stuff and they got everything set up. But there's this little personal thing that they enjoyed doing. They enjoyed having a spoonful of peanut butter occasionally. And since there's no peanut butter on the field, they would have to work it out to where they can have the peanut butter transported into the where they can have a little bit of peanut butter with their meal. Anybody see anything wrong with that? Well, one of the other missionaries that was a legalist got a hold of that, and he came up to him and said, well, listen, since we're supposed to be bearing our cross for Jesus over here, we think that the peanut butter's all wrong. Only trouble is he gathered a following around him. But the young couple said, all right, they weren't going to have a bar of it, though, so they secretly had it shipped in. And in the privacy of their own home, they would have a spoonful of peanut butter. Then it got out. And the intimidation, the antagonization, the condemnation got so fierce towards this young couple that they finally resigned and went home, all because of peanut butter. They're still around, folks. Legalism destroyed them. Now, I can hear a couple of objections going up. Some would say that God did not set us free to live however we want to live. And he did set us free, but not to live however we want to live. We're supposed to stay within biblical guidelines, and I haven't seen anything about peanut butter. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom. Okay, there you go. But brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So don't turn your liberties into the freedom to live a lifestyle that goes against biblical commands. Don't do that. But you're supposed to love one another. Well, there's another objection that may come up. Some would say that we need to look after the weaker brethren. And that's true. Paul addressed that in Romans 14, if you want to read it. In summary, Paul says that some think it's good to do one thing, some people think that same thing is wrong. He said, if you're convinced in either way, live the way you're convinced. No, don't flaunt it in front of somebody to hurt their feelings. Only trouble is we have professional weaker brethren around who get offended at everything. So don't flaunt it in front of them, because if you flaunt it in front of them, then you become the person who's the problem. But if you can keep it away from everybody and just be privately do that, you got to have it, peanut butter, it's fine. So we just got to be careful that whatever we do it with love. So don't purposely offend somebody. Don't purposely offend somebody. And this leads me to the last point. We are free from having to state our opinion about or judge someone for the things that they do. Unfortunately, the legalist doesn't know this one. Okay? We do not have to judge our brother. And I'm going to read you the command why we don't have to, all right? Romans chapter 4, verse 4, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So, who are we to judge somebody else? God is able to make them stand. He'll look after his other servant. I'm going to continue reading in verse 10. But you, everybody listen, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. Verse 12, so then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So the truth is, Christian brothers and sisters, God has set us free from the need to judge and condemn other people. Why? Because God says, I'll take care of that person. Now, if a person is moving against some biblical truth and they have a lot of confidence in you, then it might be good to come up close to them and say, listen, can I make a suggestion here? And you can show them biblical truth to help them kind of come back. And if you want to find out about that, go to Galatians chapter 6. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness and fear, considering yourself, if somebody is moving against biblical truth. But sometimes we judge other people just because of the perfume they wear, or the way they wear their hair, or the foods they eat or don't eat. Don't raise your hand, but how many of us are guilty of being judgmental? I think all of us probably have been. You don't have to do that. And let me tell you the beauty of that. You know, it will set you free and it'll make your life so much more interesting and exciting to quit trying to bring everybody else in line with your opinion. And that's exactly what Matt was talking about this morning. Somebody who is kind of driving him up the wall. He's asking God, God, will you help me want to love that person? Perhaps we should do that. Instead of being critical of that person because they're doing something you don't like, who cares what you don't like? What does God think about it? That's the judge, and we'll all stand before God. We'll bow the knee. We'll proclaim Jesus is Lord. And God will be our judge. So Christians, we don't have to judge and be critical of people. Amen? We're free from that. We don't have to do that. And your life will get so much more fun. There is a verse, though, that he does tell us to do some things. Instead of being judgmental, Romans chapter 4, verse 19. I think Matt's already read that one. So then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. That is a command. So we're free to be peacemakers and we're free to be people builders. We don't have to condemn. That's not open to us. See what grace has brought us? Aren't you glad? What we need to do is start living the freedom that grace has purchased us first. We don't have to live according to the law of Moses. Praise the Lord for that. Secondly, we don't have to carry the burden or condemnation of our own sin. Hallelujah for that. Thirdly, we no longer have to sin. We have been set free from the power of sin. If you sin, you chose to sin. It's your fault, nobody else's. So don't do it. Next, we do not have to yield to the influence of legalism. And lastly, we no longer have to carry the burden of correcting or condemning somebody else. God said he can handle it. And I think he's capable, don't you? So folks, let's start living free. Amen? Let's start enjoying our Christian walk. Please stand, and I'm going to share with you one little thing I heard once before. I think it was Jim Cimbala said, so many people, Christians, walk around looking so sad, God ought to sue them for false advertisement. So let's start living our freedom, all right? Because grace has made that possible for us. Grace, God's grace. It really is amazing, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for grace. Thank you for freedom. We are freedom-loving people. And we see all over the world where freedom is not obvious. And we're so grateful to live in Australia, a nation that is free. But something far more valuable is spiritual freedom. The freedom to worship you, the freedom to honor you, freedom to no longer have to carry the weight of our sin on our shoulders because Jesus did that. The freedom to be who God, you created us to be. Father, help us to live in that freedom because that's what Jesus intended. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a great week.